ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे नाम हरे नाम हरे नाम एव केवलम्। हलो नास्तेव 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 गतिरन्यथा। This most famous sloka is from the Brihadnaradiya Purana. There are many verses which are revealed in the various scriptures of the world. And these verses emphasize different aspects of the Absolute Truth and different ways of approaching the Absolute Truth. It is described that the Vedas are like a desire tree, nigama kalpa toro galitam phalam. And this desire tree has just the fruit that will satisfy everyone's desire. There are various sections of the Vedas which are specially designed for various classes of men. For those who want to, by following religious principles, worship the Supreme Lord for the purpose of attaining material sense gratification of higher forms, there is the Karmakanda division of the Vedas, which describes that a particular demigod is supreme, and that by performing a particular type of sacrifice for the pleasure of that demigod, he will award you all the fulfillments of your material desires. Now, why would the Vedic literatures describe that a demigod is supreme? For a particular person who is on that level of consciousness, whoever the Vedas are recommending you worship, always indicate that that person is supreme. Otherwise, you will not put your heart and soul into the worship. Just like in the Christian scripture, Lord Jesus Christ, he is speaking Sanatana Dharma in a very preliminary state. He is teaching basically the ABCs of Sanatana Dharma. And he admits in one place in the Bible that I have much more to teach you, but you cannot bear it. But in most places of the Bible, he emphasizes that I am all in all, that everything is here, that this is supreme. So you see, in the same way, in the Shiva Purana, which describes the worship of Shiva, in the Markandeya Purana, which emphasizes the worship of Kali Mata, it always describes that this particular form of God is supreme. In the sense that it is that that person is supreme for the devotee. But we have to understand through the lips of an acharya who actually is supreme. And the way we could understand that is that when it is teaching you to worship a particular personality as supreme for the purpose of attaining material benedictions, we can understand that is Kaitava Dharma. That is sub-religious principles. So in the Karmakanda division of the Vedas, practically any material desire that you have can be fulfilled. And we find that great souls like Ravana and Hiranyakasipu, Kamsa, through the study of the Vedas, through the performance of Jaga, they were able to fulfill all their materialistic demoniac desires. Similarly, if one is very pious, one can attain, if you want good wife or good husband, you worship either Bhavani or Lord Shankar. If you want good health, if you worship Surya as supreme and please him, you will get good health. If you want lots of money, you can worship Ganapati, Ganesh, or Kuvera, and you will attain, actually, if you worship properly, tremendous amounts of money. The Vedic literatures describe who to call upon for any desire you want. And if you put in the proper sacrifice, your desire will be fulfilled. But you see, after attaining even the greatest pleasures of this world, ultimately one is frustrated. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Abrama bhuvana loka punaravartano arjuna mamupekito kaunteya punarajanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, they're all places of misery where repeated birth and death must take place. So after being frustrated with the futility of material sense gratification, one realizes that the karma-kanda division of the Vedas is not the solution to the problems of life. But the Vedas are, if that's what you want, the Vedas give the way to have it. So therefore, one takes to a higher division of the Veda, which describes the yoga system, Astanga Kanda. Through this, we can attain mystic siddhis. We can attain supernatural powers greater than anyone that anyone has ever seen in our modern society. But generally, these supernatural powers only infatuate the false ego, the ahankar. And as long as we have ahankar, false ego, we are destined for frustration. Because the false ego wants to be the supreme, but we are always subordinate to God. That is why we find great souls of this Astanga system, such as these demons we were talking about, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, so much tapasya, so much penance they performed, and they attained such power. And that power brought them such a degree of ego that I am so great, I am the conqueror, I am Lord of everyone. And they knew within their hearts there was a power greater than them. And they considered this power their worst enemy, their competitor. And therefore, such great mystic yogis, they declare to be God and they compete with God. And ultimately, they're frustrated because they are endlessly defeated by the powers of nature. Krishna says, Maya dyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. This nature is working under my direction. So therefore, even after fulfilling all one's desires for mysticism through the Vedas, one is still not satisfied. And then one takes to the Jnanakanda division of the Vedas. Through mental discrimination, through understanding the distinction between matter and spirit, we can realize that we are not this body, we are not of this world, but we are Brahman. We are the supreme energy of God. But because, as described in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamayo Vyashat, the soul is seeking love, the soul is seeking a participation in the lila of the Lord. Ultimately, mukti is not satisfying to the soul. Ultimately, those who attain mukti in that liberated condition, they must either elevate themselves to Vaikuntha, or they must come down again to this material world in due course of time. Why? Because in that liberated state, although there is no misery, there is no positive pleasure. And the soul is Satchit Ananda. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. It is seeking that pleasure. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam janmanamante jnanabhamam vapadyate vasudeva saravamiti sa mahatma sudurlava. After many births and deaths of following religion, of following the scriptures, when one finally comes to the point of real knowledge, that person surrenders unto Vasudev, knowing Krishna to be the cause of all causes and all that is. And in Bhagavatam it describes, Savai pung samparo dharmo yato bhaktiradhokshaje ahoitaki apratihata jajatma supratihati. That the supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens one's unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving, devotional service to the Lord. Only this state of unmotivated, loving service can completely satisfy the self. Because only this platform of bhakti frees the soul of any contamination of selfishness. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is described to be Amalam Puranam. Of all the Puranas, it is the spotless and topmost of all Puranas. It is called the cream of all Vedic literatures, the Paramhamsa Samhita. Why? Vedavyas, who is the author of all the Vedas, describes Dharma Prochita Kaitavata Paramam Niramatsaranam Satam. He describes that this Bhagavat Purana kicks out all sub-religious principles. The Vedas have the remedy for all your problems of life. Whatever you want, you can attain that through some particular section of Veda. But the Srimad Bhagavatam kicks out all materialistic, selfish ambitions and only deals with the formula which brings one pure, unmotivated devotion to the Supreme Lord, pure bhakti. And Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktya Tvana Niyashakya Aham Evam Vidwarajana. It is only by pure devotion that I can be understood as I am. Now in the 11th canto of Bhagavat, it describes the means by which one can attain pure bhakti in this age of Kali Yuga. Krishna varnam visa krishnam sangopangasya parashanam jagyai sankirtana praya yajanti hi sumedasaha. That those who are living in this age of Kali Yuga, who have good intelligence, they will worship the Yuga avatar in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears, although Krishna, not black, but in a beautiful golden complexion. And he comes with his many associates, and he teaches the congregational chanting of the holy name. So this very, very definitive clue, which is described in Bhagavad Purana, describes the process by which our innermost soul's desire can be filled, fulfilled in this age of Kali. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world. He is the Yuga avatar. He is Patita Pavana avatar. In this age of Kali, everyone is Kalo Sudra Sambhave, is born a Sudra or less. Some people are proud that they have a high birth. But this high birth is all an illusion in Kali Yuga. There is no high birth. Everyone is low. Compared to the previous ages, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwarapa Yuga, we are less than animals. Even our so-called piety is so insignificant compared to the sinful thoughts that come into our mind. You know, in previous ages, if you even thought something sinful, you would have to pay the karma consequence. Huh? If you looked at someone with envy or with lust or with anger, even if you controlled your senses, you would have to be smashed by Maya for even thinking that. But in Kali Yuga, the atmosphere is so contaminated that practically no one can control their mind. So therefore, the Lord gives a concession that you are not responsible for what you think. You are responsible for what you do. Because you're too fallen in this age of Kali Yuga to even be under the general laws of karma. There has to be a special concession even in the laws of karma. So what is the question of our high birth? Kalo Sudra Sambhave. We are all low. And that's the first step towards spiritual advancement, is to admit that we are low, that we are fallen, that we are nothing. To admit that we direly, desperately, and urgently need the help of Guru and Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Patita Pavana Avatar because he has specially come to deliver the most fallen. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding the fallen condition of the people of Kali Yuga, he extracted the very essence of all Vedas' instructions. And therefore he based his teachings and he based his own personal life on this particular verse from the Brihadnaradiya Purana. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. Now it is said there are different slokas for different folks. There are many different scriptures, and we can go on quoting and counter-quoting what we're supposed to do. Correct? I'm sure all of you who admit to your friends that you are interested in the Hare Krishna movement, they all have so many scriptural slokas to quote to say that, what are you doing this for? You're supposed to be doing like this. Right? But practically, how to extract the essence from the Vedas, the most important, prominent, and dynamic of all instructions for our life. The Yuga Avatar himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Patita Pavana, who is the deliverer of the most fallen, he has personally given highest priority to this verse. That in the age of Kali, the only means of salvation is to chant the holy names, to chant the holy names, to chant the holy names. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Bharat bhumite hoila manusya janmanjara janma saratakakari parakara upakar. That especially those who are born in this land of India, it is their birthright and duty to chant the holy names, to become a pure lover of God, and to spread pure love of God throughout the world. This is the ultimate welfare service to humanity. Now, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he did not simply speak theoretically, but he practically demonstrated. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is considered the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations. Because in so many scriptures of the world, the Lord appears and tells us what to do. But here, the Lord himself shows us what to do. 5,000 years ago, when the Supreme Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he describes the very highest point of religion. He orders us, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami ma sucha. abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. You are sinful, admit it, but I will relieve you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Now, that is the ultimate instruction. But how to do that? How to surrender to Krishna? Krishna explained, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim na namaskuru mam evaishasi satyamte pratijani priyoshime. The process of surrendering to me is to always think of me, to become my devotee, to worship me, to offer your homage unto me. In this way, you will come to me without fail. Ah. But in this age, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadrita, people are so unintelligent and so spiritually lazy. Laziness is the greatest enemy of a spiritual aspirant. And they're addicted to so many speculations and concoctions. People are very short-lived, short memory, and disqualified. Our spiritual master used to tell us, laziness is our worst enemy. Now, what does it mean to be lazy? Spiritually lazy. Sometimes we see people are working very hard. They go on the trains, or they're in the traffic for hours, and they go to the office or to the factory, and they work, and they practically work so hard that their brains are being scrambled and foam is coming out from their mouths. Huh. So you may think, oh, this person is a great soul. In fact, people think this is the perfection of Bhagavad Gita. He is working very hard in his job, doing his duty. Just see, he's working so hard, doing his duty. This is Bhagavad Gita. Ah, but what does Bhagavad Gita say about such a person? Namam duskrita nor mudha. But such a person is a foolish ass. Huh? How do you go? He is a lazy ass, according to Bhagavad Gita. The ass is working so hard, foaming at the mouth, for what? For a little grass, for a place to stay, for a little sex with a she-ass. And usually, the she-ass kicks him in the face from time to time. That's what he's working his life for. Huh? Bhagavad Gita teaches that this is lazy. Yes, we should work very hard in our jobs, whatever it may be. But the purpose of human life, atato brahma jigyasa, is self-realization. We must work very, very hard for our spiritual development. We must put time and hours and devotion and determination and sacrifice into our spiritual life. When we're chanting the holy names, we have to make time to chant. It's not a question of, I don't have time, I'm too busy being an ass. Human life means to make time for Krishna. At all costs. And when you're chanting the holy name, to chant with determination as a sacrifice. Jagyai Sankirtana Prayaya. Bhagavatam says that this chanting is the sacrifice for the age of Kali. Sacrifice means you have to give. You have to give of yourself. You have to accept pain to perform the chanting of the holy name. And what is the pain? With all determination and concentration to fix your mind on the holy name, and yato yato nishchalati manas chanchala mastaram tatastatam niyam yetat atman yena basham nayet. Wherever your mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, you must drag it back. And if you're not willing to do that, you're not willing to make sacrifice, that means however hard you work in the world, your work is an ass. Human life is when you're willing to sacrifice for God. Huh? to put the time aside to hear from saintly persons, to render service for the benefit of all living beings, to adjust our life so we take care of our practical duties in this world, but we never neglect our first and foremost duty, which is to purify our heart in the service of God. So this is the condition of Kali Yuga and the people therein. Therefore, although Krishna has given us all instructions of Bhagavad Gita, practically nobody had the heart to follow. Therefore, that same Bhagavan, the supreme cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam, Nanda Nandana, this divine son of Nanda Maharaj, he has appeared in this world to practically show us by his own example how to live and attain the perfection of life. It is said, Brajendra Nandana Je Sachi Sutta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nithai. That the son of the king of Braja, Lord Sri Krishna, he has appeared as the son of Sachi Mata, Lord Gaurasundar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his first expansion, Sri Baladev, has appeared also as Lord Nityananda. Dinahinayata chilo harinama udharilo tharasaki jagai madhai. And they have come to deliver the holy name. The holy name is the most powerful weapon of God, because it can destroy even the most demonic mentality within our hearts. When Krishna came, he killed Shishupal with his Sudarshan Chakra. When Lord Sri Ram came, he destroyed Ravana with his mighty bow and arrow. When Lord Varahadev came, he destroyed Hiranyakashipu with the force of his bodily strength. When Lord Narahari appeared, he tore the wicked demon Hiranyakashipu to pieces with the strength of his hard nails, which were like swords. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he came armed with the mightiest and most powerful of all of his astras, weapons. More powerful and magnanimous than his nails, than his Sudarshan Chakra, than his bow and arrow. He came armed with Harinam, the holy name. Because the holy name, anyone who is willing to accept it, it will not destroy your body, but it will destroy all the demonic tendencies within. We described how the two most powerful personalities who came in the form of demons were Jai and Vijay. They were cursed by the four Kumaras to come to this earth as asuras, as the enemies of God and the enemies of God-conscious culture. The Lord had to kill Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. The Lord had to kill Kumbhakarna and Ravana. And he had to destroy Shishupal and Dantavakra. And those same two personalities came again in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela as Jagai and Madhai. But for the first time in the history of all these great incarnations of these two demons, the Lord did not kill their physical bodies. The Sudarshan Chakra killed their body. The bow and arrow killed their body and gave them liberation. But liberation is not enough. It is not the perfection of life. Therefore, they had to keep coming back as demons, but in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, with the weapon of the holy name, they converted them to be the greatest saints in all the world. They transformed their demoniac, envious, lusty, greedy propensities into those of pure love of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to show the way in the age of Kali Yuga, that anyone who humbles themselves before the holy name will attain the supreme perfection of liberation. And what the Lord did in order to give us the proper understanding, how merciful, how kind, how compassionate the Lord is. It is described when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip. He was the most popular amongst all. Everyone loved him and adored him. He had a beautiful, loving wife. Her name was Vishnupriya. She was none other than the goddess of fortune who had incarnated to assist him in his loving pastimes in this world. Of all women throughout the history of this universe, there was no one ever so beautiful, so chaste, so loving, so sweet, and so dedicated and faithful to her husband. If a man has a woman for a wife that has even a fraction of a particle of these qualities, that man becomes very attached to the wife. Huh? Very attached. Cannot give her up. Vishnupriya was the embodiment of all loving qualities of a perfect wife. She had no other thought, no other ambition than pleasing her husband, the great Nimai Pandit. Day and night, she would simply be making preparations for his pleasure. We read that that same Vishnupriya, in a previous avatar, she was Sita. Sita was such a chaste and loving wife to the Lord, Sri Ram, that when he was banished to the forest, she said, "I must go with you." Ram said, "How can you come with me? Do you know what it is like in the forest? You are a queen, a princess. You have been brought up in Mithila, and you have been brought to Ayodhya. Throughout your life, you have never seen discomfort. You have never seen hardship. In the forest, there are rakshasas. It is bitterly cold in the winter, burning hot in the summer. There will be no servants. You will have to do everything on your own. You will have to dress and bark. You will have to mat your hair. You will have to sleep on the ground. There's creatures prowling, dangerous snakes, lions, tigers, elephants, mosquitoes, insects of all sorts." She said, "Ram, please understand that my only pleasure is pleasing you. If I am in hell and I am serving you, that is heaven. But if I am not pleasing you, then even heaven is worse than hell." So this same most beautiful, chaste and faithful wife of Ram appeared as Vishnupriya. And Yashodamai, she appeared as Sachimata. But in this form, she was a widow. She had no one to protect her except Lord Chaitanya, her son Nimai. She was so loving. She was the very embodiment of motherhood. She is the example of all mothers to follow in all of creation. And she was helplessly old and depending on her son. So this is the condition that Nimai Pandit was living in. He had the most loving, concerned, helpless mother, and the most faithful, pleasing, and sweet of all helpless, dependent wives. Not only that, but at that time he was very wealthy. He was very famous and popular. He had everything of this world. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So Navadvip Dham, none different than Goloka Vrindavan, Nimai Pandit was simply living as the supreme enjoyer. And he was guiding everyone in the congregational chanting of the holy name. Every day he would go out into the streets with his arms raised and he would call out to everyone in all directions, whoever you are, whatever you have done, forget it. Raise your arms and cry out the names Govinda Madhava Hari and your life will be perfect. Please understand that you are spending your days decorating your dying bodies and your nights you're simply wasting in deep sleep. Human life is meant for perfection. Perfection is at hand. Cry out the name of Krishna. In this way, he would gather together tens and thousands of people. And they would dance through the streets of Navadvip Dham, chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But the Lord was such a compassionate and kind well-wisher of all living beings. He was thinking that so many unfortunate people are escaping my mercy. One day he was sitting under a tree and he began to call out the names of the gopis. And one Brahmin boy came to him and said, "What is this chanting the name of gopis? This is not bona fide. You should be chanting the name of Krishna." Huh? Lord Chaitanya became very angry and he picked up a stick to chase him away. And then that Brahmin, he went to where all the other Brahmins were studying. And that in those days, Navadvip was the high seat of learning for all of India, especially Bengal, Goda Desh. And people began to criticize Lord Chaitanya. They began to avoid him and even abuse him with harsh words. At that time, Nimai became very introspective and he began to search his divine heart. "I have come to deliver all living beings. What must I do to show my mercy to these most puffed up rascals in this age of Kali Yuga? What do I have to do? Especially these Brahmins who are so intoxicated by high birth that they will not humble themselves to the holy name." So when he was thinking that way, one day a very, very great saint came on pilgrimage to Navadvip Dham. His name was Keshava Bharati Maharaj. Keshava Bharati Maharaj was a disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri, who was the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri. And Keshava Bharati was the ocean of love of God. But because in that day and age, the disciplic succession of Shankaracharya was very prominent, Keshava Bharati Maharaj accepted sannyas in the disciplic line of Shankaracharya so that he would have proper respect from all living beings and then he could preach the glories of Krishna Bhakti. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with him and saw his great love and his great compassion, the Lord decided that if I really want to help the degraded fallen people of Kali Yuga, if I really want them to take this message of Harinam seriously, I must take sannyas. And he explained to Keshava Bharati that your ashram in Katwa, I will be coming soon to accept the renounced order. Keshava Bharati, knowing that he was the Supreme Lord himself, Krishna, understood his divine plan. And he said, so be it, my Lord. And he departed for the holy city of Katwa. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came home one evening, and his mother and his wife, Vishnupriya and Sachi Mata, with all loving sentiments, offered him the most wonderful, delicious prasad. They had all arrangements in the house just for him to be comfortable. His wife, with great devotion, would massage his feet. That evening, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided that even though I will completely break their hearts for the benefit of all humanity, I must leave them. There has been a tree of creation who has renounced so much. There are many sannyasis. There are many people who have taken to the renounced order. In fact, this is the supreme expression of the highest love of God for the conditioned souls, you and me. Try to understand, the Supreme Lord has given up the goddess of fortune, has given up his most intimate and loving devotees, and has caused them to burn in a fire of utter distress. Do not think that causes the Lord even worse distress. When the Lord sees distress in the heart of his devotee, it creates hundreds and millions of times more distress in his own heart. It is described that a great saint is paradukaduki. That means his only unhappiness is the unhappiness of others. He knows no unhappiness for himself. Now this saintly quality only is present in the hearts of the saints because they are part and parcel of the supreme compassionate. The only anxiety for Krishna is to see the anxiety in the hearts of others, especially his devotees. And here is his topmost devotees. And he understood that he had to inflict severe pain in their lives and accept millions of times greater pain in his own heart for the purpose of delivering the holy name to you and me. People do not understand the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No other form of God has ever given so much, has ever sacrificed so much for us. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gorate Srinama. That Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent and merciful of all incarnations of the Lord because he is distributing love of Krishna free to everyone and anyone without discrimination. So on that night when Vishnupriya and Satyamata were sleeping, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very quietly left the house. He walked through the forest and he proceeded with Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Prabhu, and Mukunda. And together they went to the holy land of Katva. Of course, the next morning, when Sachi Devi and Vishnupriya awoke, actually what happened is in the middle of the night, Mother Sachi had a dream that her beloved son had left her to take to the renounced order of life. Of course, this had happened already once before. Her first and only other son, Vishwarup, at a very young age, also left home to take sannyas without giving any word to anyone. So she was always fearing. In fact, her husband, Jagannath Mishra, he left his body out of anxiety, fearing that Lord Chaitanya would leave him and take sannyas. So when Sachi Mata had this dream, seeing the Lord in beautiful saffron garments, she ran to his room to make sure he was still there. And when she looked on his bed, she saw that there was no one. So she ran into the forest and she began to cry and scream out, Nimai, Nimai, where have you gone? She was like a madwoman, falling on the ground, fainting, coming to consciousness, crying, screaming, running here and there, going from place to place, from forest to forest. She was crying out to the trees, have you seen my Nimai? Please tell me someone. There is no one around to tell me. She was alone in the middle of the night. There was no one to give her any information. So she began to plead to the birds, to the insects, to the trees, to the grass. Please, you must have seen my lotus-eyed son, Nimai. Where has he gone? And when there was no reply, she began to cry out, how cruel is this forest? How cruel are all of you? How cruel is this world? And then she fainted unconscious. At that time, the great Gaurasundar, in that next morning, he approached Katva. And there he approached Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And Keshava Bharati Maharaj explained to him the proceedings of taking sannyas. First you go to the bank of the Ganges, and there you must shave your head. So he sat under the tree on the bank of Ganga. And he asked his devotees, please, shave my head. And his devotees took the scissors. And understand that his devotees, they worshipped him as the supreme enjoyer. They could not tolerate seeing the Lord take the position of a renunciate. It was worse than death. But they understood the Lord was doing it only for the sake of delivering the holy lame to the most fallen. His devotees already accepted him. Just as he was, there was no need for him to change. But for those who rejected him, for those who were the most arrogant, lusty, envious, and greedy, to show mercy upon them, he had to do this. The beautiful hair of Lord Gaurachandra was like nothing anyone has ever seen in the realm of beauty. When the devotees thought of that beautiful hair falling from his head, it was so unbearable they could only fall on the ground and cry. There was no one who could lift that scissors and touch it to his hair. So finally, they went to get a barber, a person who was not personally intimate with the Lord. And when the barber put these scissors to his hair, he cried, my dear Lord, please do not make me do this. I cannot do it. How can I ruin such a masterpiece by cutting your hair? Impossible. Please change your mind. Lord Gaurasundar, with great firmness and compassion, he said, cut my hair. And the barber's eyes were full of tears, his limbs were trembling. And as he cut the hair and it was falling to the ground, all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all those who were witnessing, it was a pain worse than death. They were all rolling on the ground, screaming out with tears of agony in their eyes. They could not bear the idea of the Lord of their life living as a renunciate, the hard, cold life of a sannyasi. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that position in life and sacrificed and renounced all of the pleasures of Vaikuntha to deliver the holy name to the people of Kali Yuga. And the Lord himself practiced by his own example the chanting of the holy names of Sri Krishna. And he extracted from the great ocean of Vedic knowledge this particular verse from the Brihadnaradiya Purana. That anyone who accepts this verse as their life and soul, on his order, by his mercy, will attain the supreme perfection of love of God. Harinama, Harinama, Harinam Eva Kevalam, Kalona Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatir Anyata. So this Nam Sankirtan, please do not think it is simply a form of entertainment. Of course, people who may not be familiar, they may think that the personalities in this room are madmen. They must be crazy. What is this? They are jumping around and screaming and twirling around. Ah, this is below the integrity of a spiritually minded person like me. But this was directly the process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practiced in his own life to show us by his example. By raising our arms and gracefully dancing, we are expressing the energy of our physical body in devotion to God. And by crying out the holy name, by chanting with great feeling, not only do we purify our own heart, but we purify the entire creation. Cheto darapana marajanam bhava mahadavagni mirvapanam. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that this chanting of the name of Krishna is the prime benediction for humanity at large. It is the supreme benediction. It is the ultimate gift ever given by God. We simply must be willing to accept it. And our life becomes supremely fortunate. But the Shastra says that anyone who is not willing to accept the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is not willing to chant the holy name and attain perfection of liberation through such a simple process, whatever that person attains in this world, he is considered the most unfortunate. Therefore, the great saintly persons, they do not take seriously any achievement that a man can acquire in the worldly sense. If a person, whatever his position of life, whether he is the king or whether he is a beggar on the street, neither being a king, a rich man, nor a beggar in the street, neither position disqualifies one. If one sincerely takes to the chanting of God's name, that person is most fortunate. And if he is not willing to, in this age of Kali Yuga, that person is most unfortunate. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was willing to show by his example how much sacrifice he was willing to make to show compassion to others. And those who capture the spirit of his love, according to our very, very small capacity, we should assist in his great mission of showing compassion to others. And how is that possible? First of all, we must accept the gift in our own life. And we must accept it with all sincerity and all gravity. Let us chant the holy names and purify our minds, purify our lives. And then let us, by whatever means possible, be the real friend and well-wisher of our family members, our countrymen, and of all living beings, by somehow or other assisting in this great work of spreading the glories of the holy name. Krishna says in Gita, for one who spreads the glories of these divine teachings, there is no one more dear to me than him, nor will there ever be. So here we are in this auspicious atmosphere in Pune. We come here every year exclusively and specifically for the purpose of of reevaluating our priorities in life by completely immersing our every energy in purifying our consciousness through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. A place of pilgrimage is wherever devotees come together to chant the names of God. And to the degree we are enthusiastic to chant, to that degree the Lord is enthusiastic to be present amongst us. Krishna says, as you approach me, I reward you accordingly. So, of course, Bhagavad Gita, as well as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they do not teach us we should give up our worldly engagements. Only a very rare few could try to follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and renounce everything for the compassion of others. Lord Chaitanya did not instruct nor prescribe this in general. Rather, his instruction to practically everyone he met was Yare Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesha Mara Goy Guru Hoy Tare Desh. Then you continue your job, you continue your family life. It is all right. But always chant the names of God. And whoever you meet, you try to somehow or other uplift that person. Many of his devotees wanted to take to the renounced order, but he said, no, 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 you have family, you have children, you have occupational responsibilities, no need to change. But Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesha Maragoi Guru Hoy Tari Desh. Become a guru by simply always chanting God's name sincerely and try by your means to uplift others. So, of course, for any of you who have tried to make spiritual advancement, you know that when you go to the work and when you involve yourself in the responsibilities of this world, there are so many distractions. So many people come to us and say, how possibly can we remember Krishna when we have to deal with the wranglers of this world? The process is very simple, but you have to take it very seriously. The process is to regularly associate with saintly persons and to regularly have a very strong spiritual program within your own home of hearing and chanting. And one of the most essential parts of Vedic culture is going on pilgrimage, because it reestablishes within our heart the real conviction of what is the goal of life. As people say, it charges our batteries, our spiritual batteries, so that we could go into this world and we can remain pure. We can perform our duties with spiritual energy and with purity. Therefore, these pilgrimages are absolutely essential to keep our mind in the proper direction and our heart in the proper state of purity. So while we are here, we should take full advantage of what Krishna is providing. Every moment, every second, we should immerse ourselves, we should absorb ourselves in the gift that God is giving us. 150 people have come to this house exclusively for the purpose of purifying their hearts, exclusively for the purpose of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. So while we are here, we should be absolutely conscientious that we do not hear anything or speak anything outside of Krishna consciousness. all our practical matters, all our business matters, all our family matters, they will wait for us. Monday morning, they will all be there waiting for us. And for the next 362 days, we'll have our full with them. But for these 3 days, we have nothing to do with those things. For these 3 days, we are in Vaikuntha. For these 3 days, we must absorb the divine energy of the holy name to such an extent that when we go home, we will be like an explosive bomb of spiritual energy. And anyone who comes near us will have to experience the fallout of this Puna Yatra. Huh? You know, when there is a bomb dropped, after the bomb there's fallout. And whoever gets touched by that fallout is contaminated by the bomb. So the next 3 days we should explode with spiritual enthusiasm. And then throughout the year, let the fallout fall. Understand what a rare benediction you're given. The perfection of human life is at hand. Humble yourself before every one of these great souls that have come. This is the mood by which you can get the most of a pilgrimage. First of all, you should consider yourself the lowest of everyone here. Consider yourself the humble servant of everyone who is participating in this yatra. And understand this, that either you're part of the problem or part of the solution. The problem is laziness. Right? We're all mudhas. We all admit we're mudhas? Everyone who admits they're a mudha, raise their hand. Huh? Anyone who doesn't think he's a mudha, raise your hand. What? Nobody? Who does not consider themselves a foolish ass? Raise your hand. Material society, they would never understand what's going on in this room. What sort of brainwashing is this person committing? He's convincing everyone they're foolish asses. So we are all like that. Therefore, let us be a part of this solution. The problem is we're lazy. The problem is we do not want to dance because we're feeling our feet are sore or our legs are tired or it's just not our style. And we don't want to chant because my voice is a little sore and besides that, I don't like the tune or the melody and besides that, I'm just basically tired and hungry and everything else. Anyone who behaves like this, understand that you are sucking the enthusiasm away from everybody else. It is a fact. And to the degree you take part with enthusiasm, to that degree you are surcharging the atmosphere with spiritual energy. You are contributing to the spiritual purification of everyone. And to the degree you are not enthusiastic, to that degree you are cheating all the others around you of the opportunity to make spiritual advancement. Enthusiasm is contagious. And lethargy is even more contagious.
Huh?
For Paramhamsas, enthusiastic is more contagious. But for mudhas, asses, lethargy is very contagious. So we have to counteract the effects of our very conditioned natures by being very enthusiastic. Sometimes they would ask our Guru Maharaj, I remember this was at New Vrindavan on Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Day in 1972. A devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, what if you do not feel enthusiastic? Prabhupada said, then you act enthusiastic. Who cares how you feel, rascal? You act enthusiastic. It is your service to all others. It is how you can actually enliven and inspire others toward God by acting enthusiastic, whether you feel it or not. And if you act like that, by God's grace, you will become enthusiastic. He said, you have to be determined to be enthusiastic. And of course, what's the next question? What if we have no determination? Prabhupada said, then you are an animal. No determination means an animal. Human life means determination. So while we are here, let us be determined to taste the nectar of the holy name. Rupa Goswami has said, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant the holy name of Krishna with my tongue, I desire to have many, many, many tongues. And when that name comes into my ears, I desire to have millions and millions of ears. And when that name enters into the courtyard of my heart, it conquers my mind, and my senses become inert. This is the sweetness that the great souls experience through the name of Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself according to how you approach him. If you approach the holy name with determination, with enthusiasm, then Krishna will reveal the unlimited sweetness of his supreme opulence through his name. All the glory, all the opulence of the name of God himself is within his name. Hare Krishna. We are talking about enthusiasm. Enthusiasm to hear, enthusiasm to chant. When Maharaj Parikshit was being instructed by Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit said, please tell me more. Every drop of nectar coming out of your mouth is giving me life. Is like immortality being injected into my heart. Please, go on speaking. And Shukadeva Goswami said, because you are so enthusiastic to hear, I am becoming endlessly more enthusiastic to speak. And Maharaj Parikshit said, and because you're so enthusiastic to speak, I'm becoming more enthusiastic to hear. And Shukadeva Goswami said, and because you're so enthusiastic to hear, I'm becoming even more enthusiastic to speak. And in this way, nobody fell asleep. This weekend is not a vacation. It is not a holiday in the material sense. In the real sense, holiday means holy day. It is a holy day. But try to know and understand that these 3 days in Pune are meant for sacrifice. Forget about your enjoyment. Don't even think that I have come here to enjoy. You have come here to become purified. And purification comes through sacrifice. And through the process of immersing your mind in the purificatory process of sacrificing our power to hear, our power to speak, our power to think, our power to feel, by immersing it in the holy name, we will experience the ultimate enjoyment of life. And the sacrifice that we are humbly begging all of you to accept is to completely immerse yourself in chanting, dancing, and feasting. Parama karuna pahundui jan nitai gaura chandra tava avatara tara siromani kevala ananda kanda. Lord Sri Gaurasundar and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they are supremely merciful. Paramakaruna. Why? They are the essence of all avatars. Because they are giving the way to perfection through such a simple and easy form. Kevala Ananda Kanda. By chanting, by dancing, and by feasting a nice Krishna prasad. It is simply joyful. But the real joy will not be experienced until you first accept it as a sacrifice. So in the next few minutes, we will be partaking of the Lord's holy prasad. Do not simply eat. Understand that these are the holy, sacred remnants of God. It is described that the demigods, sometimes they want to come to the earth and leave their heavenly abodes just to taste the nice prasad cooked at the house of Hridayananda and Radha Priya. These are the sacred remnants offered to the spiritual master who's been offering it to God. And when we take the prasad, we should honor it. It is a sacrifice. Honoring prasad is a sacrifice. It is not a meal, it is a sacrifice. We should be concentrated that every morsel of this food is pure spiritual energy, it is God's mercy. Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnavi Swalpa Punya Vatam Rajam Vishvasho Naiva Jayate. One is most unfortunate if he doesn't understand the glory of the Brahmins, of the holy name, and of Krishna Prasad. So when we take Prasad, let us be meditating on taking within our hearts the mercy of God with every bite. The sight of the Prasad is purifying to our eyes. The touch of the Prasad is purifying to our body. The taste of the prasad is purifying our tongue. And when that prasad goes into your bloodstream, it purifies your heart. Ultimately, it goes to the heart. Does it not, doctors? And then after prasad, don't think, oh, now let us go to sleep. Then understand that it is time for the aarti of Sri Gaur Hari. And when the aarti is being offered, our eyes, with great devotion, should sacrifice their power to see by relishing the beautiful form of the Lord, being illuminated with the light of the ghee lamp, and being offered the pleasing articles of the arti paraphernalia. And of course, Srila Prabhupada said on many occasions that if they take away our temples, if they take away our deities, that is unfortunate, but we do not need anything but the holy name. So while the arti is going on, the holy name is being chanted, the mridangas are beating in time, the kartals are chiming, let our feet and our arms in the glorification of the Lord follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and follow along with the rhythm of the holy kirtan. And from the core of our hearts, let the holy name resound. And for the next 3 days, this is all we will do. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. It is the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He sacrificed everything of Vaikuntha simply to give us this process of chanting, dancing, and feasting. It is his supreme mercy. So for the next 3 days here in Pune, let us have no other intent in life except filling our hearts with the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, filling our lives with the service of his devotees, and filling our very existence with the holy name of Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, the Kevalam. Hello, Nasteva, 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 Kanti Hare. Thank you very much.